18% keyboard, 80. I'm a controller.
You're the console peasant.
And welcome back to another Linux Gamecast Weekly. The show covers the latest Linux gaming news, reviews, how-tos, and most importantly, whatever the hell else we come up with. Hello, Jordan Svang. Hello, Pedro Mateus. Hello, Shot Realm Dynamic. I'm Vince Stone as well, with you, helping us form Cocaine Voltron. Talking about anime, you know, regular
Japanimation.
Japanimation. FTL Live, not a live series. Yeah, an FTL Live series on Netflix that we're trying to wish into being, because you know what? I'd watch that. And it's like, see how many episodes you can get out of this, right? Like,
yeah.
Like Live, Die, Repeat or something along those lines. Jello, what's up? What's new with last episode of, I think, this year? Nope.
Yeah.
Wait, nope.
No.
Yeah,
technically, that's next one more.
All right.
Squeak one more in there.
Dude, like, December, like, time dilation goes, like, harder than normal. And you're like, whatever. Like, people are doing different holidays and stuff like that. I had a fun experience Thursday, gentlemen. And by fun, I mean not fun, but the exact opposite of fun. So a couple of, probably like 2 months ago, I got an email from this extortion monopoly racket called my ISP. And they're like, hey, man.
Charter, yes.
Charter Business, a separate division. If you call Charter, they're like, get fucked. Call this other number. And they're like, hey, we're doing infrastructure upgrades. And I get these fucking notifications, and they're always far out. Like, if they're doing something like this, like, between on this day, between these hours and these hours, also, you're going to be getting a new IP address. All right. I mean, I haven't had to cycle my IP address. I pay for a static IP address as part of the package since my IP address was accidentally leaked a couple of times in a Twitch chat. And I'm like, do you know what? Just to be safe. You know, I'm behind 7 boxes. I'm not terribly worried about it. Anyway, that came to be at around 10:12 a.m. on Thursday when I couldn't log into shit because I had so much stuff limited to my IP address.
Yeah, it's it's a very simple way of securing things, yeah. But it's also a really bad way of securing things.
Shit works. Again, it was the ease of locking things down, man. And I'm like, huh. So we're going to have to find the roundabout way of doing every single one of these fucking things.
Yeah. How do I get to a machine that is allowed?
Pedro, what's up with you, man? You've been force feeding Linux to Chromebooks. I know that much.
Yeah. There was Siebes in Discord has been doing just that, also installing Linux on a bunch of Chromebooks, and I was wondering, so is there like a new way that people are using it? It's like, yes there is. There's a Mr. Chromebox that created a script which you just set the Chromebook to developer mode, go into the shell, run it, and it installs core boot, and then you just have a regular laptop with the Chrome badge on it. Yeah, from then on, you
it's
can just
like
install whatever.
It's like a stick shifter here, man. It's an anti-theft device. You see that Chrome logo, like, don't bother with
it. You see that, it's like, it's a cheap laptop, don't care. But it's running a proper operating system. And in my case, my Chromebook was an Acer Chromebook R11, which has the 2-in-1 mode. You can flip the keyboard behind the screen, and it works in tablet mode. Which is really, really nice. And I've had that Chromebook sitting around not doing anything ever since it went end of life, no longer actively supported by Chrome OS. And with that, it has basically become my bedside computer. It's the one I use to read things before going to sleep, so hey.
If I was trying to do that, I'd drop it on my face, man.
That's the thing. Because it's one of those, I can have it in like semi-tent mode and just have it resting on my chest, and I can still see the screen.
You can pitch a tent while you pitch a tent.
I mean, yeah, but he's got a little snack tray on the keyboard.
Yes.
How about you, Jordan Svang?
Oh, my week was shit.
Everything's going smooth at work.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's like, everyone's out for the holidays. It's a great time for everything to catch fire. Man.
Well, it's a good thing you got everything, you know, good plan.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great thing that I'm good at my job. Like, if you ever want to cinch imposter syndrome, just like get thrown in the middle of something where like everyone else has failed at their job and you're just like, oh, I feel very good about myself now. I don't suck. James Cameron needs to go retrieve that bar from the bottom of the ocean.
Bring it up a couple of notches.
Yeah, but I'm still above that. I'm like a billionaire in a submarine. I'm not quite getting crushed yet. Yeah, that was my week. It's over. I have the next week off, hopefully, until more things explode.
Nice. What did you guys get up to Thursday? I didn't even get a chance to.
We did some Armello. We did two games versus the computer. I won one. Mirror won one. We tried to get Linux Neuro in, but their computer was not having it. So it was just Patrick and I.
I just, you know, Linux, you can't rely on it, man.
The IT support person, yeah, no, can't have
that. Yeah, you would think like the former poo-poo slake QA engineer would get that, but you know, sometimes we have rough days, right? Just like the horse.
Just like the horse. Huh? You guys are like that. All right.
I guess. Sure. Yeah. I mean, the horse could use a coffee, some self care, maybe just like a gallon of meth. It's the steam. Linux update of the week.
And yeah, it's that time of the year again where you can basically do a 180 and look back at everything that you've done on Steam, at least. Probably don't want to do that for what you've done during the year.
We all know what you've done, Pedro.
Yes, it's been thoroughly
documented.
That's
the third story, Jordan.
But yeah, it is the year in review. Steam did it first time last year, where you could see everything that you played with the breakdown and the pie charts and everything. And now they've done it again because everyone really liked it. So let's do it again. They have a little video talking about it, but it is very much the exact same thing, and they make sure to remind you that you have points. All of the purchases you've made on Steam have contributed points, so go spend them on Steam Deck keyboards.
I'm sorry, I don't see a video. I can't get past that. This is done in vertical.
Yes. Yes, it was. You're meant to watch that on the notification that you got on your phone. That's what they want you to see that on.
Oh, like the Steam app? So it's still loading, Pedro.
Yes.
you gotta click on the link 3 or 4 more times, and then it will finally load.
Just leave it alone. Yeah, it doesn't like to be watched. Come back.
Like, yeah, hey. Just set the phone down. Come back. It's like, oh, there it is.
Pedro's played 118 games, 380 Zamini, 55 rare achievements. Oh my.
82% played with the keyboard and mouse. Yes, I am the true PC gamer.
All right. And you've mainlined APB Reloaded. And
I got back. To be fair, they made that work again on Linux. The developers specifically went out of their way to make sure it worked on Linux this year. So yeah, February, March, and April, I just lost myself to that game.
9% new games. All right. Wait, let me see. Playtime games that were new releases and old games and games that were released 8 or more years ago. 19%.
APB.
All right. And your perfect game would be a Souls-like deck-building Warhammer dark comedy.
No, it's a Warhammer 40K Souls-like with deck-building, tanks, and naval combat in a dark comedic sense.
It already has tanks. So you basically want Hand of Fate, but like Warhammer Hand of Fate.
Mm.
Surprise, surprise. What have I been playing? Baldur's Gate 3.
72 games played, 7 days is the longest streak. 228 achievements. Goddamn, dude. 23 rare, though. Baldur's Gate, Borderlands 3, Slay the Spire. All right, all those tracks. Let me see. 50% games that were released in the last 1 to 7 years. 8 or more years ago, 9%. Which game was that?
Quake.
Ah, yeah.
Yes.
And newer games, 41%. All right, right on. And Jordan, what type of game do you
think? Mine is apparently a tank-based roguelike deck builder board game. Right. I think we've all Shell Shock has really like skewered our statistics.
That skewed that a little bit.
by a lot. I got a unique thing that you guys don't, though.
Yeah, we got to get down here to it. It's scroll. There it is.
There, yeah. I passed the purity test.
Linux is 74% playtime, and not Linux is 26%. but also Linux, because it's
the other Steam Linux. OS. Yes,
we have Linux at home and proper Linux.
Oh man, good times. Let's see. Over here in Vinland, I've played 102 games. I got 199 achievements, 18% keyboard, 80. I'm a controller.
You are the console peasants. Oh my god! Yeah.
You are literally the opposite of me.
In my advanced age, I've definitely gotten to the point of like, if I can play it with a controller, I'm gonna play it with a controller. What did I play? Trackmania, and Trackmania, and then there I flirted with ReCore until I hit a super grindy spot. I'm like, fuck this game. I'm done. New games, 39%. So my perfect game would clearly be a racing Metroidvania superhero tank sim with battle royale elements, and yeah,
that was some light trivia mini games.
Yeah, true. These are cool. I mean, everybody's doing like wrapped things, right?
Yeah, Google Play has one. Spotify has one. Apparently, I listened to nothing but Powerwolf all year, which is kind of weird. But
did I?
That is because YouTube. YouTube Music has this thing where it will play you the same four songs over and over and over and over again, and you got to go out of your way to like make it give you like new shit.
You have to find the My Mix that they automatically create. It's like, okay, that one actually starts introducing new stuff. All right, cool.
And you're fighting against normal people who are like, no, I'm perfectly fine listening to the same thing over and over.
I want to listen to Bay of Pigs 97 times.
Okay.
It's time to invade.
Now, you two have Steam Decks, but neither of you have sparkly Steam Decks.
No, I'm too poor for that.
Yeah, the OLED one, as nice as it looks and as, you know, neat as the new battery optimizations and power delivery are, it doesn't justify the price. But people noticed with the new OLED Steam Deck that the way that certain things were being rendered, especially against the dark background that the Steam UI has a lot of, there was some chromatic aberration, some little rainbow effects around the icons, and like the brighter things you could see like the red and the green or the blue sticking out depending on
got to enhance more, like zoom yeah, closer.
Who was it, Jack of Some posted on Reddit that there's now a Decky plugin that gives you a shader effectively to render the icons properly, which, you know, okay, absolutely on board with that.
I mean, now, listen, you give me a little bit of alcohol, I can fix that even with the shader.
and apparently this is like a hardware fault with the displays, where like a bunch of the panels that they're using, some of them do get hit by this, some of them don't, though. Some folks are reporting that they're not getting this, so
yeah, it is like the subpixel fringing that you have on LCDs, like IPS displays, is different than what you'd get on an OLED screen. So this is likely to happen if, you get a slightly different panel. The thing that kind of got me is, oh, okay, so we're going out of our way to remove chromatic aberration whenever it appears on anything. Why the fuck do video game developers keep introducing it in every fucking game?
It's more cinematic. Yeah. It makes it look more like
a movie. Valve, here's what I want you to do. I want you to create a replacement LCD for the OLED. So you can swap the OLED with the LCD just to give Pedro an aneurysm.
Yes.
That would be stupid. Yes, that would be a waste of money.
Now, if you're thinking about it, if you're looking at it, I mean, you can see it. Go back, check out the video version. Pretty easy to tell, but then again, you're so zoomed in. How big is that battery icon?
It's like 10 pixels or 12 pixels tall.
If you're in game, you only ever see it if you bring up the overlay menu. Right. So,
I guess if you just bought a brand new OLED and you know this type of stuff, yeah.
And Valve has come out and said like this affects like such a minor group of people that like. We're not going to bother fixing it.
Minor group of people. I mean, we mean people who give a damn.
Apparently the Decky plugin also disables system-wide compositing as well, which can cause some performance.
That will cause issues, especially on the new big picture mode, the DAC UI. Keep compositing enabled.
Yeah.
Good news, everybody. We've talked about it on the show, but it's finally here. Shopping cart updates. All right. Inline gifting. What is that? I don't know. I haven't read that part. Let's find out together. You can now purchase gift for multiple friends and yourself without having... That's kind of... Yeah, okay. I could never think of a situation where I've been under that. Yeah. Mm, good. That's a-
Looking for that game. Does it have a four-pack? No? Then I have to... Make four different purchases.
There's no four packs anymore. Yeah, they quit doing that.
One card across all devices, which is good. Your shopping cart will now follow you across. You cannot escape giving us money. Awesome. And kind of the big one, private purchasing.
Now no one can tell that I've had sex with a vampire as a bear.
No one can hear you steam. Keeping your games private starts before you even make a purchase. So the new cart lets you... Mark a game as private before you check out, man. So you can hide this. Things you're ashamed of. If you're playing too much Call of Duty Bros and you don't want your friends and family knowing that shit, cover it up. They'll never know. And I desperately want to see the slide deck that was made for the internal pitch for this, because somebody has the data at Valve. That is like, there's an unmined horny category here.
Made
of horny money that we're not extracting full horniness out of this.
We can go deeper into the horny mines and extract more resources.
That's what I'm saying. You know, they've hornied too far and too deep. Somebody was able to show the
ball rog. It's just balls.
Just the ball. Just the ball sack down there. And somebody had to show this like as a sales pitch, and they're like, this will recoup at minimum dev time to add this feature. So I'm glad to see it.
Okay.
But I want to think about this 20 years from now, when, you know, a child now is going through their parents' Steam account, because you're going to inherit it. You know, we're generational gamers now. It's going to be like finding the sex tapes, man. You're going to find your parents' horny collection, because you know it's going to be there. And you know you're
not going to... My kids are going to be sorely disappointed, unless they really like, what was the match 3-1?
I don't want... Everyone to immediately start gifting Pedro horny games.
If you do, I'm just going to reject them out of the boat. Like,
well, and
report back the ones he doesn't reject.
So I was bringing this up in the pre super shows. Once upon a time, folks had burner accounts that you would just like keep all your shit in. But I guess now, A, people don't do that, or B, there are enough multiplayer hentai games and there are enough niche hentai games within those communities that people would not want to advertise to other horny people that they are playing. Therefore, this solution exists.
I don't have shame. It's like laughing.
I don't have any of the filters off. So sometimes I'm just scrolling through Steam. And I'm like, oh man, that's some PNV right there.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah. Oh man. Don't make Twitch jealous.
I will hold on. Let me take off my shirt.
I just put a black box over.
Yeah, gotta bring Sandy in. Just have the black box over.
Damn. Hey, I have male presenting nipples, so I can be shirtless. It's fine.
There, yeah. All right.
In the bathtub section. Yes.
I'm sitting in a bathtub right now. You just can't see it.
What if you get in a hot tub then, like filled it with like ice water, and be like, fight the man.
I just have really, really hard nipples at that point, because it would be very, very chilly.
I can bring over some glass. We could test the theory.
Yeah, my it's nipples like, are why like are you purple?
No reason.
Because I'm grape flavored, Pedro.
I don't think he's sleeping. Yeah, he is. Leave him alone. He'll get up. Where's his kidney? Shut up.
Yeah, it's just like the end of The Shining, just like Project Bridge.
Hey, but real quick, will either of you ever use private carts?
Probably not. No.
No. Again, I do not purchase the porting games. So.
I mean, if I did, I wouldn't care. I would use it. I'd weaponize that shit. I want everyone to know what I'm fucking playing.
I would stream the horny games if I'm going to start buying them. So, like, you would know. You would know if I started.
Right. So, but hey, if you plan on, you know, buy some stuff, leave a surprise for your kids. Like, scar them and like, you know, their 20s or 30s or whatever, you know. One new game this week, we're going to give a talk. Throughout the holiday drought, they managed to push this out, and it's a roguelite co-op Endless Runner. We all like Endless Runners, don't we? You know, the everybody's favorite Mario levels, you know, the auto-scrollers. Man, there's nothing I like more than an auto-scroller pushing me off that fucking cloud to death, because I was almost, goddammit, Mario. This looks kind of fun. However, as with anything that's an auto-scroller, there's only really so much you can do with the game loop. And, you know, this is floor gap, floor build, bridge between gaps, don't die. And that's kind of my takeaway when we're watching this. I mean, this has been sped up maybe, you know, a full percent from actual game build. No, probably not. I think it might have been sped up just a little bit, but I hope it hasn't.
They have real time coming up.
Aw. Oh. It reminds me of Unrailed, done on a budget. And there's a lot more shit you can do in Unreal. Unrailed, and Unrailed is also multiplayer, and it has a demo. Why do I bring that up? Why do I bring up a demo? Because this thing's $14.99, and it's got online co-op, and that's what I would imagine most of us would want to play with friends, and that's going to get
expensive. They at least don't get the shame bell for like being a four-player co-op game that is local only. Because that's the biggest boo-boo, especially with racing games. Like, oh, you're going to have your friends over and race against... No, no one does that.
No.
Split screen.
Admittedly, the whole, the void is encroaching and you need to Minecraft your way to stay alive sounds interesting for about 5 minutes.
I mean, it could be fun. You never know until, like, you're in there doing it. And you're like, all right, this is kind of interesting.
Yeah, like... we brought up Domekeeper before. Domekeeper, if you described to me what Domekeeper was, I would think it was a boring fucking game.
Yeah.
And then you get into it and you're like, oh shit, I need to get back, right? So
then it starts making you have to deal with greed mechanics and you're like, oh, come on, man. Come on. Yeah. I want to take them all. You know, and you're like the monkey trying to hold all the bananas and the other stuff and like it's not happening.
Yeah.
Game updates out of nowhere, man.
Yeah, cool. Pirates, Vikings, and Knights 2. Oh my. This is it is a Source game. You can done on the Source engine, and you play. It's a three-sided deathmatch team deathmatch game where you are either a pirate, a Viking, or a knight. Each team has three different classes that have different things, and then you go and try to murder each other. And you know, I always liked three-sided conflicts in games.
But now Pedro can't quit playing it because they've added a mechanic, buddy.
Oh my god! It has a 3-second cooldown.
Well, they've added cooldown.
but like. I don't know. Like, Team A versus Team B in games is perfectly fine, but I always love it when they throw in, like, that third wildcard faction, and it's like, oh, do I help you? Do we team up? Are we fighting, and now we're fighting this new guy? Or do I do... Like, it adds this fun new, like, extra layer when you add, like, yellow to red versus blue in the mix, or if you, like, throw Kurt Angle into the mix or something. But, yeah, it's available. It's free to play.
Just get a big, massive update.
Yeah.
Oh.
Which I didn't even know this game existed. I didn't have it in my library because it released in 2010, which was like 5-6 years ago. And,
right.
it looks and plays like old school, like CS Counter-Strike. But I mean, again, because it's on the Source engine. And, but you got pointy sticks and a blunderbuss instead of like a regular gun. Yeah. See,
Look, it's John Freeman.
Yeah, no, I was looking at the trailer. The moment it
that
starts,
horse explode?
That looks a lot like Dust 2.
Yeah.
That looks a lot like Dust 2. It's like, oh, it's made in the Source engine. That's why. All right, okay.
that's because it is Dust 2.
Uh-huh.
It seems like something's going to be really fun on. I played against a bunch of bots. That's all I can speak to. And like on paper, it makes sense. But like just playing it, and I was like, you understand why they just decided to go with guns. And Counter-Strike and pretty much all the other first-person shooters, because that was kind of fun.
It's For Honor. It's basically the game that For Honor looked at and went, we can do that with a AAA budget instead of just being a Source mod. So, yeah.
I'm not a cat, For Honor.
Meow, meow, Honor, meow, meow, meow.
I am not a cat.
Dude, go check it out. It's priced to sell. It's completely free. It runs on modern-ish system. I ran it on Debian 12.
It may run on your modem.
Yeah. I mean, dude, you never know. You could probably run it on that Chromebook, man.
Yeah. I was actually going out of my way to try to find games. Turns out OpenMW is not on the Fedora repos, and you can't have it on Copper for some reason. So you have to build it from Source. It took almost 3 hours to build OpenMW from source on that Chromebook. I'm not exaggerating.
But did you build it for i386 or?
Why do you have to compile it on the Chromebook? Why wouldn't you just compile it? Why not just compile it on another machine?
Because I was just using the Chromebook. I wasn't using anything else. I wanted to see how usable it was. That was part of the experiment.
Okay, so you got your answer, and it's not very. Got it.
That's the thing. The game itself plays just fine. It was just building on the Celeron N3060, which is passively cooled and dual core without hyper-threading.
If you can't compile code on your CPU, then it's...
I mean, Pedro, you could have cross-compiled it on the Raspberry Pi 4 and sped things up significantly.
Right.
Maybe.
Would you take a life or death on that bet?
Hey, there's more than one CPU on the storage, on that thing, right?
I think the big bottleneck there was actually the eMMC storage, because that's all that has.
That's going to do it for all of our Steamy stuff this week, but we got a couple of bits of news during this holiday season. And the closest thing we have to like a wish, a thought, and a prayer, we send good vibes all the way into the ether and Intel slaps that shit right out of our mouth. Because that's what Intel does. WCF Tech, Intel Roadmap Points reaffirms. Is that grammatically correct, gentlemen?
Yeah, the roadmap points of the roadmap.
Reaffirm. Yeah. Next gen Arc Z2 Battle Mage Discrete GPU launch 2024. Updated. Boo. Okay. So during a launch in Japan, Intel showed a roadmap, is what I'm showing right now on the screen, with the Battle Mage Discrete GPUs. With 2024, like, hey, look, here's 2024. Here's 2023 with some shit on it. Over here on 2024, look
how big 2023 is. There's totally not like a week left in right. that fucking year.
But hey, man, we got some shit on top of 2024, man. It's pretty dope. And, you know, that's what WCCF, like, not even like spammy or speculative. It's like, hey, this is a slide Intel fucking showed. It's pretty dope. And I'm like, cool, man. Then, you know, Intel reached out and they're like, hey, man, maybe you need a refresher course. We're Intel, and this is a slide from us. You really should know better by now. I'm just saying, because, you know, we're Intel. So this X-axis, that label translates as 2024. Onward. It's not a release date of your year, guys. It's just a fucking number we pulled out our ass.
That's the kanji for a question mark.
Yeah, further away from 2020. You know, we're just letting 2024? People know that 2024 exists as an idea, but it doesn't. It shouldn't reflect anything in that chart. It's a PowerPoint thing we made. Come on, guys. You should know better.
Yeah.
And the only thing I'm really worried about here is now, Jordan, you get a good take on it, but my initial thought was like, really gives me a little bit of a worry that we're like, Intel's not just straight up coming out and like, we're owning this. They're like, yeah, Battlemage 2024.
Yeah, we were talking about that a bit in the pre super shows, and Intel has some good reason to not commit to some hard and fast dates. They have been burned by that in the past. So I understand their reticence, but they were talking a little bit about the roadmap and the parts that are coming out. There's going to be a lot of, there's that Archmage refresh that is going to be coming out. And then we're going to be getting some iGPUs in like an APU style configuration, as well as some dedicated cards. And Intel having their own APU systems that aren't like NUC form factor, that would be nice. AMD has not really been releasing APU systems, and those are kind of the lifeblood of like mid-range computing right now. So having some competition there, which apparently the Battlemage architecture is competitive with RDNA 2 or RDNA 3.
Well, everybody's are we getting our RDNA 3 APUs? And AMD's like, they're going to run really hot. When? And they're going to have really shit power efficiency and battery life. When? Can I have them? Like, here, we made it. This thing sucks. It's really hot and has bad power efficiency. Like, we tried to tell you that.
Yeah, but it should be competitive with that. I don't know realistically what that means. And yeah, the 2024 thing doesn't fill me with confidence either.
Like, I understand. Yeah, I mean, if we have another like global whatever ship stuck in Panama's butthole, and they can't get anything, and everything falls apart, and like
if their driver team gets assassinated by like Russian military
or whatever, dude.
Yeah, like,
and so yeah, but. Dude, I don't want to read like 10 years from now, like yet another thing Intel could have like just fucking owned, but they fucked it up. Like only Intel could fuck something up, because we have a very sordid relationship with Ark. Like, because like when the rumors were going around when Raj like peaced out, or like any other company wouldn't be worried. Intel will take a fucking axe to something. They just spun off their FPGA division this week, which everyone went, you had a fucking FPGA division?
Wait, what?
Great time to spin it off, like right after AMD has acquired Xilinx. I'm like, brilliant move, Johnson.
Oops. The other thing with these cards too is we got no word on memory configuration, and the 40 series NVIDIA was not super inspiring when it came to like giving us anything, a decent amount of memory for like the money you're paying memory, for these cards
price.
Yeah, so hopefully Intel really starts pushing that 12 to 16 gig as the norm for the mid-range. I think we're at that point these days. I don't know, we're 8 is just not cutting it.
It is. It's cutting wallets.
Yeah, it's cutting Jensen new paychecks.
Getting him new leather jackets. It's Intel. They say in the article that we might see something at CES 2024. It's Intel.
That's like tomorrow.
Don't hold your hopes for that, because
don't hold your breath. You owe that.
Dude, they're just gonna show like something spitting with like just a drape over it, question marks and shit. They're like, there it is. Thing.
It's anything could be in the mystery box, even that new GPU you want. I'll take the box. Like, I'll take the box.
The way that they dodged the lawsuit about just straight up lying about the release of the Xe graphics when those first came out, they had to go, no. That there was one laptop model that came out in Korea. We pushed that
thing out in Korea, limited quantities.
The one.
you could buy
it. So it technically came out
at Tuesday on midnight on November 31st.
Made it all the fucking tech boxes for the shareholders. Like, we did exactly what we said by, you know, this is what they mean by the letter of the law versus the spirit.
Yes, yes. Technically correct. Right. The best kind of correct.
I would expect, like, when we haven't heard anything from Tom, formerly of NVIDIA, like,
Tom is probably wondering, it's like, well, Ryan left me alone. The fuck do I do now?
Call me Tom.
He's just like sitting in an armchair with like a picture of Ryan and a sifter of brandy next to a fireplace, just like looking longingly, like
throwing NVIDIA GPUs into the fire.
Just inhaling the fucking smoke coming out.
I'm sorry, Tom, you have pierced nipples in my ass, so I'm. I don't know how that works.
He's got the Comcast shirt, and he's just like, oh. Okay, let's talk about controllers, and let's talk about kernel support, because this is going nowhere fast. So,
fuck out of somebody just tuning in, like, wait, that's a sharp turn.
Right, yeah. So, Nintendo Switch Online, we're all paying for this, right? So that we can play our classic NES games and Super NES games and Sega Genesis games and N64 games, totally not just running our RIP ROMs and RetroArch. Well, you know, if you did buy those Switch Online subscriptions, you could have also bought some fancy Bluetooth controllers they also have like wired USB connection as well, but they are like classic NES controllers. These ones clip on the side of your Switch. The other ones don't. I'm a little sad that there isn't like one that will like an N64 one that will clip on the side of the Switch so you can wield it like a fucking sword.
I want one that will work as a double as a belt buckle.
I want. So, okay. So, to figure out what the fuck these things are, I watched so much YouTube reviews of these things. So someone actually tried to play Super Smash Bros. With like the two NES controllers on either side, and there's no analog stick, so you can't actually play the game. Which is actually interesting, because in the Collabora work for the kernel support for this, not all of these controllers, they all present as a Switch Pro controller, but not they don't all have the complete Switch Pro feature set, because it has Rumble, it has the IR camera, it has the motion controls. It might have a joystick. It might have two joysticks. You don't fucking know. So they have now added a subsystem in the Linux kernel to flag these controllers so that they will expose the correct feature sets, and you can just use these controllers right out of the box and not have to pay the $50 a month for Nintendo Switch Online. Oh my God.
I just like $49.99 because, like, yeah, I'm having a moral debate, because on my bucket, short-term bucket list of I've always wanted to go back and actually finish and go through Ocarina of Time. And
would you do like a Ship of Harkanian?
Since we get the decompiled stuff, and like I thought, I stream it, of course. But and I've asked on the show before, like if anybody had a recommendation for like a USB N64 controller, because I'm dumb. My brain does not. I have to manually reach over here and pick up a damn controller. It's like if it shows me a fucking square, I'm like, all right, I don't know the fuck square. What square translates to X? So I need that controller, or I'm going to have a bad time. Probably for the first like 5 hours into the game.
So actually, with Ocarina especially, and I'm just gonna use my PlayStation controller as an example here. On the N64 controller, mm-hmm. this stick here is the C buttons, and for Ocarina, you need to like do specific songs. So you need to do like up down, left right, or whatever. And it's really easy to fuck it up. Uh-huh. This was the problem with the Wii U version of it. Was you have to do it with this thing and you're gonna fuck it up because you're gonna do an angle and hit the wrong button instead. So yeah,
get that old school stuff, get my trigger in and wireless. I don't know, like $50, like it then I could always go back and play like the I've never played the Mario. Did you guys have an N64? I had two friends that had N64, so I was like always had like an overnight experience with one.
My N64 days were Blockbuster Video, so I didn't own a lot of games for N64. Mm-hmm. It was you would rent whatever one or two games from Blockbuster and try and get as far as you could. Or if someone else had a save that they didn't complete, it's like, oh, let's see what they're up to. And then you go and...
I had already bought my first 3DFX card, so I wasn't dealing with the console peasants. I was too busy lording over these motherfuckers. But
yeah, like, I was 10 years old. I had no disposable income.
Yeah, I always wanted to go back, and so maybe, but dude, talk about nipple rubbing. It makes me feel so good that Nintendo fucking released a controller that only works with an active online subscription to their own bullshit. Like that is so evil. I almost got like a little fucking tear coming out. And now it's one of these wonderful devices that, oh yeah. Also, we just use it on a fucking Linux.
Yeah, because Linux will run your shit whether you like it or not. That's kind of like, where we're at.
The audio interfaces from a Poogie.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the ones that were only meant to work with a Mac ever, because we're never going to release Linux drivers. I mean, not Linux drivers, but even Windows drivers is too. Like, it supports Mac. Now it supports Linux. Click, get wrecked.
Well, now there's no more FireWire on Mac. That's gone forever.
Even for the USB ones, like this Apogee Duet 2 that I have is the Mac version specifically. Uh-huh. Because the Windows and Mac and like the generic one has a different packaging, has a different like look on the actual thing. This is the Mac and iOS specific version. So and it works.
Yeah, you just plug it in, like whatever, click, done. And one of the cool things about Linux is you never have to worry about, big Linux isn't going to decide that you need to update your hardware. So we're just going to quit pushing out driver support.
You might get a little bit of that. We just lost floppy drive support in the kernel, RIP.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But if you need it, you can always add it.
Yes, you can build the module yourself.
But did you see like the big news thing floating around this week that like... billions, trillions of PCs are going to be instantaneously dumped into landfill because of Windows 11.
Because of the TPM stuff or whatever.
They can upgrade it. Do you think Microsoft's going to bow the fucking knee on that one? Are they going to be able to get enough pressure on them? They're like, why do you hate the environment? And they're like, get wrecked.
Considering what they
they give money to OpenAI. You think that shit is environmentally friendly? No.
It's like going for like the hardware support, the official hardware support that Microsoft has had for just Windows 7 to Windows 8, 8.1, Windows 10. Skylake got pretty much people who were running Windows 7, and the moment that Skylake came out, it's like, sorry, not officially supported.
Well,
so
they're going to get tossed in the people who also want to watch in the bin with the people who want to watch their Blu-ray DVDs on PC. Right?
No,
can't do it anymore.
Here's the curveball with Windows 10, because for the first time ever in Microsoft history, they're going to be offering the public extended support for Windows 10 that you, as an end user, as a consumer, can purchase extended support to keep Windows 10 alive. Then do you think that that's going to be their way out of it? They're like, I mean, give us money.
How long
that's
are they
probably
gonna...
the legal justification they will use. Yes.
Realistically, how long can they keep that up though? Because like Mac porting stuff is like not easy, especially if when you have like a moving target.
Well, you got to think about how many point of sale systems have Windows XP embedded on them right now, and how many ATMs have the same. Like they got experience keeping this shit up and running 30 years after it was made.
Yeah, but
so
those
the pipeline
are,
exists.
That's true, but it is for like narrower scope than because like ATM machines don't have like fucking fancy video cards, and if they do. I got to
about you, man. My ATM's RGB. It's blinged, water cooled.
Yeah, can your ATM run Cyberpunk?
I've overclocked it. Who knows? Like, yeah, just go install Linux. That's great advice. Somebody, unfortunately, they asked him on our Linux. I was reading that this morning was the typical. Hey, man, I've run Linux for a year. Let me tell you how to fix Linux. We've all been there. Motherfuckers, don't try to pretend you weren't there. You're like, all right, I've got it figured out, guys. Here's how we fix Linux. And it was always the, and this was the, and I've been there myself, the take of, we got to just make it easier. We got to quit telling people Linux is complex. And because the average person to install Linux, and I had to break his heart, get a lot of upvotes, get throwaway comment. I'm like, the average person doesn't install operating system.
It's true, man.
Linux users, BSD users, fucking whatever, you're not an average human being if you're installing an operating system, period, regardless of what it is.
I ran into this with the kid because I'm like, I have the one administrator account on his computer. Mm-hmm. If he needs to install software, he needs to ask me.
Oh, you're fucking tech support. God damn.
But I said this will remain until you install your own copy of an operating system on this computer, at which point I will no longer support it. And you're on your own. That fucker is never going to install another piece of software on that computer.
He's like,
right?
Bitch, like, I got you on call. Yeah, like, give me an incentive then.
Yeah, like, yeah. But that's the case with most people, right? Like,
yeah,
they don't want to mess with it. And if it breaks, they just don't use it. They'll just like, I'll play on my iPad. I can I can plug my VR headset into my iPad now.
Such is the thing. NVK holiday update.
This is so cool. So
this is awesome.
Yeah. So we've been following the development of NVK ever since NVIDIA released their GSP firmware. So now all of the shit has been moved into the black box. So now we can start making like actual open source drivers that can hook into them. And NVIDIA or the Calabra folks have been making some pretty crazy results. They recently, the last time we talked about it, they had Vulkan support. Now they're getting to the point where they can actually run games and getting decent performance at it. Right now, Pedro will talk a little bit about some of these edge cases, but right now the big one is NVK plus Zinc already curb stomps the old Nouveau OpenGL performance by like a country mile. And now there's like actual Vulkan support as well, or like DX11 support. They're working on targeting DX12 eventually. And the other thing that's really interesting, they're looking at shipping this for Fedora 40. So we might be in the moon future where you can install Fedora on an NVIDIA system and shit will just work.
Yeah. Yeah.
It can work better if you install the blob drivers, but you wouldn't have, you can just like keep on living your life. Like and not have to touch the blob drivers.
That's long kind of fucking crazy. Way away from can't even get enough of a display for a TTY.
Right.
Yeah. And then you have like the edge cases, like a hat in time where Pierre Loup Griffet was like, okay, I had to check it out. And as it turns out, the game runs better on NVK than it does on the proprietary driver, which makes me happy.
On a 3090, mind you. So
yes, like the edge case of edge cases. But still, showing NVIDIA up at their own game, if they can do that across the board, that would make me very happy.
even competitive, right? Even if it gave acceptable. It doesn't have to be like fucking bleeding edge.
It's going to get very close.
It doesn't have to be like a massive gain like here. It just has to be similar enough like it was for Mesa and the AMD drivers. It just has to be good enough.
It's in a weird spot because, you know, what you want to say is like, well, compared to the AMD open source versus the closed source, but on Linux, AMD has determined demonstrated multiple times they don't give a shit about Linux on the desktop. Get fucked, nerds. however, it's a different fucking equation on NVIDIA, right? Because NVIDIA has been supporting Linux desktop for 30 fucking years, man. But getting closer to that binary blob, but we will have that same situation, though, that parity of good enough or really good, perfectly usable open source solution for NVIDIA. Then you got the closed source blob that you might want. Maybe it's going to have some better performance for that. You're definitely going to need it for compute, but
CUDA is always probably going to need the
CUDA for every
and bank. They're not going to give the folks access to right. the encoders, I don't think.
Nobody's going to be hammering into that stuff. But, you know, then we got that weird future, because I don't know what AMD is doing on the compute side right now. They can't make up their damn mind. They were fucking around with ROCm, and everybody's like, you're fucking up ROCm just as bad as you were fucking up OpenCL, guys. Like, you got to take this shit seriously. And they don't have that support because NVIDIA has been pushing CUDA since 2007 and treating Linux like a first-class citizen. I'm not sticking up for NVIDIA. This is just how this shit works. That's why NVIDIA is embedded in the AI ecosystem
in the server space, right? Yeah. Like if you want like enterprise-grade GPUs, you can buy AMD FirePros, but you're gonna be using like the Teslas and the whatever the fuck, the A-series.
Even with the like AMD stuff, they immediately start falling apart once you add more than one card. Like, I mean, it is a genuine dumpster fire. Like, people are trying, you know, they're trying to fight the good fight here. And they're like, these just don't fucking work. It's not like a performance issue. And plus, all the tooling's written for CUDA right now.
Yeah. Why?
Because AMD, I want AMD to like take that seriously. One thing I'm terrified of is AMD taking compute seriously. But doing the reverse. Imagine this fucking
closing it off,
closing all the fucking source off, all of it. All they have to do is be like, hey, you don't get specs on our next gen. Sorry, guys, we're going back to binary only.
I don't think they can pull that off though. There's not enough market presence. There's not enough goodwill. And like even NVIDIA has fucking seen the fucking writing on the wall. They're open sourcing their drivers because like an enterprise demands that. Enterprise demands access to that code.
But AMD doesn't have that worry because enterprise don't fucking care about their computer right now.
and they never will until they do, right? So if they go all closed, it's not going
to... Maybe they get to pull it in. Dude, corporations have done dumber shit.
This GPU is true. They'll be dumb.
The GPU open stuff is basically the outside of the underdog type of situation is the one thing that AMD kind of has going for them to generate that goodwill from the masses.
SSR.
You see a lot of people going, yeah, but they're actively opening the source for everything or the technology or most of the technology.
They released the stack, even initially when they released the source, they didn't do it because they fucking wanted to, people.
Yeah.
They did it because no one was using it and they're like, here, someone please.
AMD was that far from disappearing, man. We're talking pre-Ryzen. Like, AMD was not far from just going away, and that's what I worry about. It just takes the wrong fucking person with the wrong fucking idea for shit like that to get flipped around. But hey, at least we'll have NVIDIA open source drivers.
Yeah, this is so spooky. We're like, you can just install Linux on an NVIDIA system and it works.
Weird, man.
And that's the thing with the open source kernel modules. You could have, say, the open source drivers for gaming and then install just the CUDA module and load that separately.
I will continue speaking this until Jensen gets like the tumor in his brain from my psychic emanations that makes him do it. But this really makes me excited for like NVIDIA ARM laptops, because with a fully open source stack, that'd be dope as hell.
Well, you're just trying to get excited about the next Switch.
Right. Yeah. Please. But I want to install Linux on it.
But it's so weird to pick apart the tea leaves right now in 2024 because both AMD and NVIDIA have completely fucked off on the consumer GPU division. They're like, we don't care. That doesn't make us dump trucks full of money. And this the AI craze is like, they're buying them quick. We can price them at $40,000 a card and we still can't make them fast enough. You know, that's where my squishiness of like, we might see some really weird shit take place in the consumer GPU market.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, no, it definitely the trend lately is it's all just moving to enthusiasts. Like consumer as a computer segment is kind of dead. If it's not a laptop or if it's not like a pre-built system, they're kind of not interested in selling it to you, right?
Yeah. Strange times. All right. We've been holding it off, saving the weirdest for last. We're going to talk about alpacas because they're like horses on a budget. A little more bite.
The alpaca. The world's first actually viable open source controller. And damn you, Input Labs, you did a damn good job with this. The new progress report, they do that every now and then. Whenever they have like significant stuff to report, they put out a new progress report. The big one in this one is the everyone kind of wanted, because right now the alpaca, the only version of it, you have to plug it in. It has to be plugged in. So they've actually been trying to use the Raspberry Pi Pico W as the microcontroller to get some wireless connectivity, some Bluetooth going. And they managed to get the latency down to 3.5 milliseconds when they first started. When they first started, it was around 30. So that was like a 10x reduction, which for a Bluetooth controller is pretty good. And now they just need to figure out the power requirements on how to actually have the controller be truly wireless. And that's very good. They've made some changes to the profile storage in the firmware, which that's the way that the alpaca works is basically very reliant on you creating your own profiles and creating your own sets of controls and going into the game and editing those controls to be exactly what you want. It's not a set it and forget it type of controller. You're very much expected to always fiddle, always tinker. And now they've made that. There's a control app that you can run in a Chromium-based browser. I think it doesn't work in Firefox still. It still requires something Chromium-based, but that allows you to change the on top of the base profiles that it already has, like the ones for FPSs and for racing games and for whatnot. You can create new ones, and it actually saves them now. that was one of the big fixes that they introduced. It actually saves them, and it doesn't. If you remap everything, it actually stores the profile properly, so it's very, very nice. And you can remap literally every button, every action. You can remap.
Are they going to be like putting up a site or something? Like, because one of the nice things about Steam Input is you can grab other people's profiles very, very easily. Is there a way? Are they planning to like have a way to share those?
You already can on Discord.
Right. That isn't, hey, can someone please send me their shit over Discord, please?
Oh, yeah. Does the little Raspberry Pi thing have a Steam Deck card slot in it?
the Raspberry Pi Pico does not have. Some storage that you can access to flash the firmware, but I don't think it comes with the SD card slot.
Somebody left a comment on the YouTube video that you did for it, and they're like, hey, why don't these cats hook up with Framework? I don't know, man. For all I know, they could be like, man, get rid of
it. They know what they did.
Yeah, right?
That's the thing. If Framework is developing a computational platform, these folks are looking to create an open source controller ecosystem, and
it sounds like they could smooch.
They absolutely could. It's just what is the what's the motivation?
That's real easy. A fucking case that doesn't look sketchy is butt fuck because it's been 3D printed. I mean, it's a goddamn Cybertruck of fucking controllers, dude.
Yes, it is very angular. It is very, but it's actually that bad. Except for the spiky bits at the back.
You can't even tell he doesn't have a Cybertruck model car.
Like, why are you holding that Cybertruck, Pedro? That I've now ascended back so that it doesn't hurt my fingers.
That's what I look forward to controlling.
You have access to the 3D models. You can change this. You can print your own.
I need a controller, homie. I don't need a fucking art project.
That's the thing. If you just want a controller, that's probably not the one you want. if you want something that can do as much as the alpaca does, then it is absolutely the best choice. And you can actually, that doesn't have a gyro, that doesn't have a capacitive touch sensor.
You don't know what's inside that thing.
That actually has...
But you know what this does have? Nacho cheese. Filled full of it.
I don't think that's a good thing for a controller.
Not for you. For me, it's great.
See, this is what you don't realize. This is why you got to read the fine print, man. All Logitech devices are nacho cheese resistant. Up to 30 cheeses.
Yeah, this is why this is a superior controller. Is I can fill it with nacho cheese and it still works. Your shit will break.
But yeah, that's the thing. If it breaks, or if you just want to buy the bits and then put them together yourself, they're selling the full, fully soldered PCB now, along with the 3D printed parts and everything else that you might need. You can effectively just buy an alpaca from Input Labs now. You just have to put it together yourself when you do get it.
See, you know, if I was alpaca, I mean, like, you ordered alpaca, I'd fuck with them, dude. I'd send somebody a full-size fucking crate with some holes drilled out and have it delivered freight, but it just have the controller inside.
No.
What would obviously look like an alpaca.
No, big fuck off box,
but just a controller.
No, you send them back a disassembled IKEA bookshelf and be like, I can't figure this out.
Either that or some sausage.
Just the big meatball.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got a little bit of hate mail this week. If you want to get in touch with us, head over to linuxgamecast.com, smash that contact button. Couple options there. You know how to read. I got faith in you. Man, I'm still logged into the WP admin thing. All right, good on you. Do the thing.
Send now, us now, clear cash.
Do the things. Send it in. We might read it on this very show. Might not. Who knows? YouTube comments, Patreon comments, you name it. Any way you want to get in touch with us, just don't at request on social media with like something you expect to be on the show, because squirrel, we will forget. We have a 100% track record of doing that. So if you want to roll like that, go for it. Joa Jata.
It's Portuguese. They write in and they say, you guys talk about controllers so much. Have you tried ItBit New? I have one Wireless Pro 2 and I'm very impressed by its quality and compatibility. Can't remember you ever mentioning those. Well, I know Pedro has one.
Yeah, I did mention those. In fact, this one right here, the SNES.
Isn't that thing
Pro,
broke as fuck?
Yeah, it broke on stream. I was playing the Jedi Ginger Souls-like, and on stream, this just straight up stopped working. I can't find anything physically wrong with it. I've cracked it open. I had a look at the PCB. It all looks to be in place. There's nothing obviously burned.
When like electronics just that's fuck off without any signs of like what fucked off. They're like,
yeah,
it's the nacho cheese.
Lack of nacho cheese.
It might need some nacho cheese. Yes. Yeah. I really
that's
like this controller.
Lazarus bit.
Yeah, the cheeserous.
Gotta bring it back, man.
I really liked this controller because it was tiny and I could actually reach all of the buttons with my right sort of thumb. so it was really nice in that respect. I really, really enjoyed it. I bought one of them, very much dead now.
I bought one of them for my wife recently because she has very tiny hands and she likes to play video games but can't hold regular controllers.
Uh-huh. So you get her the Duke?
She got them baby hands. Yeah, that's what I did. No, yeah, the 8-bit tiny Duke. I was impressed with like the button quality. They're like all very snappy and whatnot. It feels like a proper controller.
8-bit 2s are premium. Like they're not, you don't want to buy like 7-bit Moos or some shit like that off Amazon.
Retrobit is the other one.
4-bit maybe instead of 8-bit do.
Now this got me thinking though, thanks for the question, that was good to know. What was your first real PC controller? USB, we're talking USB because a lot of us are the age you're like, okay, we were talking about game port shit, and you know, we were talking about that in the pre-super shows, and I'm like, yeah, Thrustmaster 2 baby, to play the Mech Warrior 2s. First USB controller, because that puts us in the time of like in modern era-ish. And Jordan went and dug his out and I was like, damn it. And I have one in the tech closet here in the studio. Mine is the Logitech, whatever the fuck this is, that one. Mine doesn't have the analog sticks on it though. This is just the four button with the shoulder pads.
Yeah, this is the fancier version of the one that Ben has. The dual action. It registers as an F310 according to LSUSB. So I'm just going to call it that.
I was like, you know what? I could just plug this in. It will fucking crash the box. I guarantee it for no reason.
Yeah. I got this to play Forgotten Realms Demon Stone back in like 05, 06. Because I had a pirated copy on my computer and I didn't want to play it with a keyboard and mouse because that fucking sucked. So, but honestly, this wasn't a great controller. They're I still say the DualShock 4 is kind of the pinnacle of
it feels kind of spongy and plasticky.
It does. It feels cheap, but like that's what that was back in the day, right? Like that's what computer peripherals were.
They were not premium. They were like, oh, you dork, you want to plug a controller into a computer? Sure, we'll make something for you. We're Logitech.
Yeah. That's why my first actual controller that I used over USB, not counting the Logitech Wingman Formula Force, that was the steering wheel. I had just got an adapter for this PS2 DualShock that I don't want to touch the analog sticks because the little rubber cover.
They're sticky, ain't they?
Really, really oily. Really oily.
I was surprised that this fucker still works, though. I plugged it in, and, like, Steam picks it up, and, like, Steam input works with it, so.
That was the F310 was the one that they used when they first released the big picture mode. All of the promotional things before the Steam controller came out, they used the Logitech F310.
It's kind of strange now, and you don't even think twice about it. You just go buy like whatever current console controller is that you want. You come home and you hit the pair button, and like you just start using it. You know,
unless you're on Windows, on Linux, then you need to install a bunch of random software.
Oh, right. If you're on Windows, there's some extra steps and shit.
But. Yeah, if you want to use a PlayStation controller on Windows, there's extra steps involved.
Although I found out why the Wi-Fi on this Xbox controller is busted. You need to build a kernel module for this. Because it's not standard.
Wait, you got the one with the sparkly D-pad?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, see, I don't have that one. I got the preview. All right, huh.
Yeah, wired it works fine, but Bluetooth it doesn't want to pair
with. I thought they fixed that.
They fixed that for the Xbox Series S controllers, not for the original ones.
Damn. Daniel?
I got it on clearance. I plugged it in. It fucking worked. I'm happy, right?
Like, yeah, you're like, fuck it. I'm on Fedora. It'll work eventually. Yes. You can just put it in your pile of stuff. Like one day, you're just going to start working when I plug
Fedora,
you in.
Fedora 40. I can plug in my 1080 and it will just boot. Crazy.
All right. Send us your feedback. Let us know questions like that. We love shit like that. It's always good content to go down memory lane with our. Yeah, how light this fucking controller is, dude. Like, I feel like I could snap it if I just did that, but I'm not because
you give it a little squeeze and you can feel like the screws flexing a little bit. You're like
not premium by any stretch of the imagination.
By far the lightest controller I have.
By far the most cheaply made controller you have.
Before we get out of here, I want to thank everybody helping us out. We talked about last week, like out of nowhere. I got a bit of a shock on I got a super thanks from DCI and kicked us like 200 yen. I'm like, that's fucking dope, man. I didn't even know that thing worked. Nobody's ever done it before. And Edgar Rodriguez, 1497, is like, hold my fuck mother and penguin. And sent in a $2 thanks from last week.
Hey, actually using the YouTube thingies. Thank you.
Super like, thanks.
Yeah, right next to Pedro sniffing his Steam Deck. That ended up. Did you notice I had to mirror the image on that?
Yes.
It just looks mirrored on my end.
No, I mean for the thumbnail for last week's video with you, Pedro. I had to get creative because you were on. Here's what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. The wrong side. You notice your microphone is on your
right side. So I would have to be here. So you
right, Pedro leaned into the that side of the screen. I'm like, but I already made this part. So yeah, that's mirror universe, Pedro. That's good, Pedro.
He needs like the red laser eyes. and we need like red circles for like maximum clickbait.
Right.
the arrow pointing at the vents.
Yeah, the thing.
There was one post on Reddit where it's like, it was like some window that had like a red like sign with like an O on it, and it's like, I was staring at this thing for 5 minutes before I realized that this was an O and it wasn't circling something.
Oh man. Hey, if you want to kick us some coin, we got an easy way to do that. If you want to make it rain all over our face, chest, and neck, we got a support section where we have access to things to give you access to our Patreon, our Libra Pay, our PayPals, all of that. If you can support us on Patreon, we got a gang of fucking bonus content every week. We keep talking about the pre-super shows, and that's our production meeting, the closest thing we get to one where we just talk about what's going on, about anything, a little behind the scenes, behind the sausage, if you want to see that. And of course, Libra Pay's been around forever.
Pay no attention to the men behind the sausage.
It's full of sausage llamas. We also have Amazon wish list. So we got this crazy idea that we've had for a long time. If you pick something up off of one of our wish lists, and you can send in a note if you so choose.
And we voicemail, read the Spotify. Note.
And oh, yeah. Figure that one out.
I want people to do it. We have the ability, and very, very few people have fought that dragon, and I'm sad.
We're taking a side talk to talk about Spotify voicemails while we're doing the Amazon wish list, but okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hi, Jordan.
Drugs. Hi. What's up? Go
Jordan
buy
has one, Jill has one, Pedro's got one, and I got one for the studio. We also got a merch store, Amazon storefront, and of course Humble affiliates. There we go, nice little bit of shilling. Oh, if you are a patron, you get a ad-free YouTube free video version of this that is the highest quality out of all of them that you can just download and carry with you everywhere. You could have had it on the holiday. You're stuck at your grandparents' house and fucking dial up, can't watch a show. We got you covered. No need for even YouTube DLP, which I need to update because allegedly it didn't work last time I used it yesterday.
Well, there's that website that tells you if like AdBlock and YouTube DLP work today or at this minute.
That's called my terminal. When that thing farts and has an aneurysm, I'm like, well, I guess I need to go download the binary again. And
yeah, let's check the change log, see if there's an update.
Womp, womp. All right, beautiful people, we're going to bounce out of here. Roll some credits. Thank you. Stick around for that. See your name in lights. You make show possible. But on that bombshell, still got one more week. And it's like, for this? And I'm like, nope, one more week. Hey, if you want to get in touch with me, I'm just at Vin Stone. I'm on X. Going to give it to you. And I'm on Mastodon, mast.linuxgamecast.com. I'm just at Vin on our instance, and I'm whatever I am on Blue Sky. Just type in Vin on Blue Sky. There's like six people on Blue Sky. I'm one of them. I'm the only one called Vin because no one wants that dumb name.
It is I, the Wizard of Cheese. You can follow me on the Blue Skies or on Mastodon. I'm at Frojo at mast.linuxgamecast.com on Mastodon, at Frojo on Blue Sky, and at The Burning Fool on Twitter. I'm at all the places, not unlike Pedro.
No, I'm down to Mastodon. That's it. I suppose I technically am on Space Hay, but if you want a
Space Hay,
whoa,
is it like Space MySpace? No, MySpace.
That sounds like a
drug. Yeah. It is a MySpace re-implementation, as it were. It is very much following like the MySpace High Five style of
that's
social
networking.
That's
what the horse eats when it wants to get fucked up. Space
Hay. Yeah. So. I'm technically on that, but I don't use it, so there's that. All so, right. Yeah, at unaccounted for with the actual number 4 at the end on mast.linuxgamecast.com. Just go there.
Do it. I dare you. Bring your own horse and an alpaca.
B-Y-O-H-A.
Association.
No, hey as in H-E-Y.
Credits.
No, A-A-A. That's just A at the end because it's alpaca. Yeah, we are three hoes. Hey. Ho, ho, ho. Hey, ho, let's go. You don't have to call me that,
I
man.
Didn't have enough time. I didn't think about it in time. I was going to change our name tags at the bottom to just ho, ho, ho. But
yeah. Got to thank our advisors, our Omega Star Theron, our executive producers, Barb Bram, Scott Machado, Tom Cass, Mike G, drummer, Tomaj, Hakeem, David, and Eshep, and our little Nicky fan, Super Desto, Eggy, Empty, and Nubbin.
And the sea monsters were Noah, Ryder, X Machina, Trudgy, Virgin, Uda, Justin, Nubbin, Darkwing, System T, Dancing Joe, Ogi One, and all the Death Notes, Nova, Chad, Romeo,
like Pebble, Rene, Turnover, Leonardo, Fine, Sherling,
Zambrano, Doom 2.1,
Rohit, and Rohit's around, Sigrid,
Turnover,
Schmishmellism, Bless
you, Unioid. Ooh, is Unoid's name improperly written there?
I don't know.
Or have we just been saying it wrong the entire time?
Because then, yeah, no, it's on the fuck wall too. So it's Unoid on the fuck wall. Unoid. It's Unioid on the chairlings.
Onion.
Listen, as always, if there are any errors in her credits, please reach out because that shit is done manually.
It's your name. You need to let us know.
Right. You're like, no, it's pronounced fuck weasel.
Is it Scythal or Synthal or Sithul or
Synthahol?
Synthahol, yeah. We're going to call him that from now on.
Deck the holes with Synth. Hey, yeah, be down with that. All right, everybody. Identify. We'll see you next week. Time that right. And by time that, I mean that's just coincidence.
Yes, I all according to Keikaku.
Yes. Mm. Nailed it.
Five dudes.